Good morning, everyone. Welcome. There are some announcements that need to be made today. First, the music committee meeting for this Tuesday, May 2nd, has to be canceled, and that is going to be rescheduled for Tuesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. So again, no music meeting this Tuesday. It's going to be rescheduled for Tuesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. And Janet Dibble has an announcement from the transition team.
Good morning. I'm here representing the transition team set up to help Pastor Marty and his family as they begin their journey with our church family. The other members of the team are Arl Liske, Allison Klein, and Dean Wagner. But please understand that we are not the only members of the transition team. Each of you, each member of our congregation, is a member of that team and an integral part of supporting Pastor Marty and Rachel and the boys. So far, we have met 5 times. The team has met. We've met with the board chairperson, the church secretary, and pastors Jack and Glenn to gather input, and we're working to develop a plan to best support, provide the support to Marty and his family when they arrive. Regarding the search for their housing, they will be renting a townhouse in Myerstown. That's all set. They're ready to move in. For them, everything's ready for them to move in next month. We would like to thank Andy Heisey and those working with him for helping them secure the housing and for keeping us informed as they work together to find their new home. The Moyers currently plan to arrive around June 7th, with Pastor Marty's first day being on or around June 12th. His first day of preaching will be Father's Day, June 18th. We will plan a fellowship meal following the service that day, and more details will be coming on that. During Pastor Marty's first week, we will be scheduling meetings with each of the commissions so that he will be familiar with the functions and the team members when he attends his first board meeting the following week on June 20th. Women's Fellowship is currently working with Rachel to coordinate meals for them during their first week and possibly longer, and they will be putting together a pantry box, we're calling it, of items that they will need when they first move in. So more details on that project will be made available and put in the bulletin as we know what items they're going to need that first week when they move in. Glenn Hassinger will accompany Marty as he makes his initial visitations with members, and Grace Ziegler will work with the family to help them find doctors and other important people that they will need to find that are best suited to their needs. So if anyone has any other ideas or is planning to work with Marty and Rachel with anything, could you please let any member of the transition team know so we are sure that we're not duplicating anything or forgetting anything. So if you have any questions or comments, share them with any of our transition team members. And we thank everyone for their support during this transition and ask that you continue praying for our church as we move forward. Thanks.
Okay, we also have an announcement from Nikki.
Just wanted to announce that Tuesday night is our Rob's night for the Dominican trip. This time it's a little different. You have to come with a coupon. We do get more of a percentage, but you do need the coupon. So we have some sitting back on the Dominican table if you would like to pick some up and come out and see us. It's always fun. It's always good fellowship, good time. You don't have to cook. You can come for ice cream, whatever you need, and then we'll be there to serve you. Also, on May 6th is the Damascus Road Concert. We're doing it at Schaeferstown Fire Hall this year. Doors open at 5:30. Doors open at 6. And that's always an amazing night. Great Christian music. You'll hear again from the team. Food, raffles, all of the fun stuff. So we'll hope to see you there. And I just wanted to, real quick, I know we do put a lot of fundraisers out there, and we do need to raise a good deal of money, but the reason why we make announcements, the reasons why we put it in the bulletin, is we do have a lot of people from the congregation who ask us, who want to support us, want ways to know. Even Nancy Liske, I delivered pies to her the other day, and she was like, call me, tell me what you're doing, when you're doing it. So we do have that support, and that's why we do present it to you. But we just wanted to take about a minute to just kind of remind you what we're going to be doing and why we do this.
So when we go, we will be doing food distribution and medical kits to the neediest families in the community. And we'll also be doing a spontaneous VBS with the kids and what else? Building a kitchen for the church so that the pastor can give food to his community. And then in our free time, when we aren't doing that, we're always with the kids and ministering to them, even though we're not doing something like scheduled.
That's okay. And the reason why we do this, in the Bible, God tells us to go out into the world to share the gospel, and we get that opportunity to do that. He tells us to be his hands and feet. He tells us to minister and help the poor and the widows and the fatherless, and that is something we hear a lot of down in our community, that there are a lot of kids without fathers, wives, women without husbands. So that's the main reason why we go. And we're called to go to this particular community. You know, maybe not everyone is called to do ministry abroad, but we feel called to go to this community and minister to them and give them hope that a small group from Myerstown, Pennsylvania cares about them and is willing to step out and go to their country and help them. And so, you know, we're very passionate about it, and we share that. You know, maybe that's not your passion, but we do thank you for the support, for the prayer support, the financial support. And just a reminder that, you know, the minute you wake up in the morning, you are a missionary. That's being a Christian. That's what it is. You are a missionary the minute you wake up. You are entering the mission field. You are showing people, telling people about God, showing them the love that Jesus has for them. And that's something that you don't have to go to another country to do. But I feel like, you know, as a church, we should be supporting each other and encouraging each other in all that we do for God's kingdom. So thank you.
Thank you, Nikki and Taylor. We are now going to hear from the hand chimes.
Thank you. great job. For those of you who know a little bit about music, you might have noticed those three songs I played, I gave them a lot more difficulty. They had more than just quarter notes. They had eighth notes, they had page turns, they had to change the belt. They have a lot more difficult music this time, and they did an awesome job. So please, if you see any of them, tell them how great.
If everyone could please stand, we have our opening hymn, number 429 in the Brown Hymnal, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
Please bow your heads for a word of prayer. Bless our service this morning, Father, and may everything that is said and done here be in accordance with your holy will. As we gather here in the harbor of your safety, we thank you for fellowship and family. Thank you for all the gifts that you have given to us, particularly for the things that we take for granted, our homes, the food we eat, our families, the beauty of the world around us, for the glory of the sunsets, for all the things that make our world a place in which we can live and work and make progression. We ask that you will strengthen us, restore us, and inspire us with your love. Lord, would you fill us with your peace so that as we journey onward, we can pour out your love and grace to others. We ask that our souls would catch the wind of your spirit so that we would take your promises to all the earth. Let us remember those who are not with us today. We ask for your blessings to be on them. We ask this all in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. We are now going to have special music by the youth.
No, I'm just kidding. While Taylor and Abby are getting ready, they're going to start us off this morning. I just wanted to make an announcement quick. After our last youth mentor night, it went pretty successful. Everybody seems to be pretty happy and have a really good time. So we're going to do another one. And I thought it would be appropriate to announce it now since the youth is getting ready to sing for you. And I just wanted everybody to be able to mark their calendars early so you're able to attend. We always do a youth group picnic towards the end of the school year. So this year, it's going to be on June 4th. It is their normal Sunday youth group meeting. It's going to start at 5 o'clock. And we would like to invite their mentors to join them this year. So it's usually about 3 hours, 5 to 8. We do a picnic here at the church. So I'll get in touch with all of you. Everybody kind of just brings a dish and we just have a picnic and games and that sort of thing. If we're able to have it outside and the weather's nice, that's what we'll do. If not, we'll move into the gym. But if everybody could just go ahead and mark their calendars, if you're a mentor, for that special night, it'll be June 4th. It's a Sunday. We would love to have you all back again. I think the kids had a really good time as much as the mentors did. So we would love to have you guys back.
It's been another day when it seems like faith eludes me. Everything's been so confusing. Fear got the best of me. Now I'm lying here worried about tomorrow. 'Cause the weight of everything I don't know is so heavy I can't sleep. But the truth remains the same, even when I don't know what to pray. But what I know is you, my God, are real. No matter how I feel, you've never let me go. And what I know is there will never be a day you aren't just a breath away. And through it all, I've got a hold to what I know. I could throw my fist in the air demanding answers, but in spite of all the questions, I'm still giving you my life. And if it doesn't turn out like I think it should, it doesn't change the fact you're always good. Your ways are higher than mine, but the truth remains the same, even when I don't know what to pray. But what I know is you, my God, are real. No matter how I feel, you've never let me go. And what I know is there will never be a day you are just a breath away. Through it all, I've got a hold to love that's never failing, to hope that keeps on saying, carry on. oh my God, are real. No matter how I feel, you've never let me go. And what I know is there will never be a day. You are just a breath away. Through it all, I've got to hold to what I know. Gonna hold to what I know.
awesome job, you. Thank you so much. And I got to enjoy Krista back there cheering you on, too. That was my offertory thought for today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Will the ushers please come forward? Please bow your heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another chance for us to meet together in your house to worship you. I pray that all offerings given today are out of love. We experience your blessings every day, and your blessings are always given to us freely and with ultimate love. Father, you loved us all the way to the cross. May we love you enough to give you what is already yours. Bless these tithes and offerings today. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be singing number 302 in the Brown Hymnal, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and the children are dismissed for Children's Church.
As we come to our time of prayer, we want to remember those that have special needs. You have a long list in the bulletin, and we like to invite you to continue to remember these folks in prayer every day. Today, we want to remember to pray for Buddy Wagner. He's going to have back surgery tomorrow. So be in prayer for Buddy Wagner so that everything will go well for him. I'd like for your prayers for my brother George. Several weeks ago, he had a flu. They gave him some medication for the flu, and it sent him into a series of seizures that put him in the hospital. Well, he got through that, but now he's starting to deal with some pretty fierce tremors. Don't know whether it's from that earlier event or what's going on. So pray for my brother, George. He is a United Methodist minister out in Western Maryland. Let's join together our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pause to give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving for your love, for your grace, for redeeming us, for giving us a marvelous hope for a glorious future. Lord, I pray that you would indeed speak to our hearts, that we would have the mind of King David when he tried to cover over his sins. Your hand was heavy upon him. But when he confessed his sins, when he turned away from his sins, he experienced the joy of your salvation. Lord, where there is sin in our lives, I pray that you would convict us, that we would repent of it and turn to you, and indeed have that gracious joy in our lives that comes because we were forgiven and cleansed and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. We pray for those that are struggling. Some of them are struggling greatly, Lord. You know the needs. I pray for Buddy as he goes through surgery tomorrow. I pray for wisdom and the direction for the surgeons, for all of those that are caring for his needs, that you would bring him through, that he can rejoice in the victory. I pray for George, whatever is going on. I pray that the doctors would understand and bring about healing as well. And for this list in the bulletin, we do not need to name them by every name because you already know. But we do lift them before you. Some are dealing with cancer. Some are dealing with heart disease. Some are dealing with breathing difficulties, with kidney problems. Lord, there are so many that are going through great struggles. We lift them before your throne of grace and pray for your touch upon each one to give them strength and endurance day by day. We pray for the church. We pray for the church at large, for the church of the brethren. Lord, that we might know your will and your way for the church and your direction. We pray for the church around the world, especially today. We pray for the persecuted Christians in other parts of the world, that you would show them your grace in such a time, and that they will stand firm in their faith no matter what they may face, that they may be witnesses for faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for each one here, that you'd be a special blessing, that your word may be written in our hearts, and that you will bind this congregation together in hope and encouragement to work together, especially, Lord, as a new pastor comes. We pray that you would indeed be a blessing to this congregation, and that they will continue to proclaim the word in this community, that they may live it out day by day. We give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving. Move in our hearts and our lives, O Lord, day by day, for strength and endurance, that we may do all that will be pleasing to one another and to God. So be a blessing in our lives, O Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture lesson comes from Romans chapter 15, the first 13 verses, continuing in this study in the book of Romans. Romans 15, the first 13 verses. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may be with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarch and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You notice this is an invitation for us to be open and to be welcoming, to receive all people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a blessing to one another. I'm reminded of a situation when my father was a pastor. My father was a pastor for many years in a Methodist church. And he went to the, after he retired, you know, that's the way we ministers do. After we retire, we keep going, right? And so he was called to this little country church. I think when he went there, they had 15 or 20 people, very small church. Well, my father also was a hard worker. And he began to build the church up until it was getting up to about 75 or 80. And there was one little old lady that attended the church all of her life, and she quit coming. So my father went out to find out what was going on with her, why she had quit coming. She said, well, this church was okay until you started bringing all those sinners in. That's true. Hey, what's the church for, right? It's to reach out to all those sinners and to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is indeed looking to bring a unity within the body of Christ and acceptance. In the last chapter, there were considerations or principles of Christian conduct, of conviction and conscience, and consideration of the weak brother. He says that God bears patiently with us. He is a God of patience. And if God bears patiently with our offenses, we ought to bear with each other in the same way. We must embrace those who love the same Lord and bow to the authority of the same scriptures. Remember, bowing to the authority of scriptures. In Sunday school, we were talking about the fact that in the Jewish faith, the Jewish religion, the leaders made all kinds of little rules to follow. Jesus condemned them for heaping all kinds of burdens on them, but not lifting a finger to help them carry those burdens. I mentioned also that when I was in Israel and Jerusalem, even today, the Jewish faith still carries these little laws to an nth degree. And so, on a Saturday, their Sabbath, we were in a hotel, and we were up on the 14th floor, and I got in the wrong elevator. They called it the Sabbath day elevator. It stopped at every floor, because for them, it was wrong even to push a button on the Sabbath day. And so the Sabbath elevator would stop at every floor so the people wouldn't have to push a button. I didn't make a mistake about getting on it again. They carry it so much. And so sometimes in the church, we have all these rules and regulations and restrictions that people must abide by instead of reaching out and embracing them and loving them. We must embrace them in the name of the Lord. In many things, it is our duty to have convictions. when not in conflict with God's Word. God's Word is the key. God's Word is the guide for our lives. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and instruction in righteousness. From the beginning to end, God's Word is important for us to know and to study. We then, the verse says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The first verse of our scripture this morning. We are supposed to bear the infirmities. We're not supposed to tear them down. We're supposed to lift them up. Yes, when there's wrong, when there's sin, correction is necessary. You know, scriptures talk about us as fathers correcting our children. And we recognize that as being good to correct our children, to instruct them in the way they should go. The same way God corrects us in order to instruct us in the way we should go. The guiding principle to govern the conduct of every Christian is that we are to seek to please our neighbor for the purpose of building others up in the faith. All that we do in our Christian walk and conduct influences others, especially fellow Christians. But even outside, how many people do not go to the church because they say, well, I know so-and-so, and they belong to that church, and they're not a pretty person at all. I don't want to have any part of anything like that. Yes, I'm not saying we need perfection. Well, maybe we do, but we're not going to reach it, right? None of us are going to be perfect. But our goal should always be to do what would be pleasing to others. Paul insists the strong should show consideration for the feelings and prejudices of weak believers. He wrote to the Corinthians, therefore, if food makes my brother stumbles, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. In other words, Paul said, on his own, I can eat meat. I love a good pork roast. No, Paul would never have said that. Not a pork roast. That was really taboo. But he was saying that if I eat it, if it offends my brother, then I will never do it. Seek the interest of other persons. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are still in the area of questionable things. I think I may have mentioned this before, but I will tell you. I abstain from all alcohol. That's my personal faith. And the reason I abstain from alcohol, especially because if I take alcohol and someone sees me drinking alcohol and they say, oh, well, he drinks, it must be okay. If they become an alcoholic, I bear some responsibility. If they are starting to drink because of what seeing me, the scripture very clearly says alcohol is not good. Scripture says that do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not expecting to impose on you that you must abide by what I do and say. I'm just saying that my influence on others is very important. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are made partakers of His divine nature. We have the mind of Christ. The third verse in our scripture says, for Christ did not please Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Jesus never put His own interest ahead of others. He never sought His own pleasures first. He was always there for everyone else. Paul reminds us that We are in one body in order to glorify God. Verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Again, all Scripture was written for our instruction, that we might live a life of righteousness. It was written for our learning. A great sin in the Church of Jesus Christ is ignorance of the Word of God. We need to have the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives every day. It's not enough to come and hear a Sunday school teacher for 45 minutes and the preacher for 35 minutes. A Sunday school teacher always gets more time, right? It's not enough. You need to study the Word. Your Word needs to be a part of your life. But I hear people, well, I don't know much about the Bible, but. There's that big word, but. Three letters, but that's a big word because we make all kinds of excuses out of that word. Why doesn't he know the Bible? God wants you to know his Word. As a church member, do you boast about your ignorance of God's Word? We must get down to business and to find out what God has said in his Word. What will knowledge of the Bible do for you? Well, though we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, that's in our Scripture. The Word of God imparts patience, it imparts comfort, it imparts hope. All many, many years over my life in the pastorate, how many times I've heard of those who are faithful, who go through the difficulties of life, and they will say after they go through it, or even in the middle of it, I would not be able to tolerate this if it wasn't for my faith. Faith comes by the Word which is preached and read and heard. You won't find hope in the newspaper. You read the daily newspaper, it's filled with anything but hope, right? Oh, once in a while you'll find a nice article about someone that's doing a good job, and that's great. But by and large, most of what you see in the newspaper, except for the sports page, well, even on the sports page, you get some negative stuff once in a while. But you don't find hope in the newspaper. You find it in the Word of God. Amen. The Lord says, come on up here and get in the sunshine of hope. That's what the Bible will do for you. Paul wrote to the Corinthians again. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. One person said that he was going through a very dark period in his life, and that the study of the life of David delivered him from suicide. Well, that's the reason God put these things in the Word. In order to deliver us from the problems of life. When we become one in Christ Jesus, our conversation is radically transformed, beginning to glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about us should make a radical transformation. Our conversation will be different. The words that we use. You know, I've known some good people in the church that, not here, of course. I haven't had any problems here, but I've known people that put on a good show on Sunday, but on Monday morning their language was terrible. Their tempers were just out of control. That should not be. The Scripture said, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. The goal of it all is that the body of Christ might be bound together as one in the common bond of love and consideration, one for another. Keep this in mind. It's always consideration for others. Paul pauses to pray that the blessings channeled through the word of God might have their effect upon both Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. You notice he says a lot about Gentiles here, and of course, in a Jewish faith, that was completely out. Gentiles were an abomination. Not a whole lot different from the Jewish faith in that day. Well, there is a lot. But it was similar to the Muslim faith today. The Muslim faith that thinks that everyone outside of the Muslim faith should be eradicated. Well, there was a lot of Jews that almost felt that way about Gentiles. Well, Paul wants us to accept everyone. That together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. There should be such a harmony in their praise that they reveal the unity of believers. Harmony. I guess you notice, I love to sing. I love to sing with the body of Christ. I love to lift my voice together with all the believers in Christ in praise and adoration to God. I do it myself, too. Alone, I almost always start my prayer time with a verse of a hymn of praise to God. That's the way I start. Oh, I'd love to lift my voice in praise with the body of Christ. We should remember that there is no good in ourselves. Alone, there is no good in us, only evil. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ. But in the body of Christ, we can lift one another up, we can encourage one another, and we can grow in our faith. So this good life does not come from within. So we recognize that it's all from God. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Verse 7. God receives man, both strong and weak, high and low, Jew and Gentile, on the simple acceptance of Jesus Christ. When someone comes to faith, before we accept them, we must not expect them to jump through all of the hoops that we put before them. It'll come. I'm reminded of a woman that when I was pastor at Midway, she became a member there while I was there. And at the time she became a member, here, you know, I usually don't preach much on alcohol, but this was a case. She became a member of Midway. And during that time, I cannot remember ever saying a word about alcohol. But she was working part-time in a restaurant and served alcohol. And she came under conviction that she had to leave that job where she was serving other people alcohol. So change comes. We can't expect someone to be perfect or following every letter right away. Change will come. Growth will come through the Word of God and through the body of Christ. So verse 13, jumping down, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The God of hope is a new title for God. Didn't hear much about that before. But now it's a new title. The believing heart finds here the rock of ages, who is a shelter in a time of storm. That's a beautiful hymn that we sing, but it's also scripture, because you can pretty much find that in the Psalms. He is the rock. He is our salvation. He is the shelter. We find in him everything we need for life. He is a God of hope. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's what the study of Romans will do for you, should do for you. Paul offers a bit of apology because he's rather frank and bold in speaking in Romans, the doctrinal section. It was not because they were lacking in goodness and knowledge, but rather because they possessed these qualities that Paul was able to be so explicit. Isn't that wonderful? He gave us the Epistle of Romans so that he could talk to us about these important issues. I think an understanding of Romans is an essential part of Christian growth. Romans is packed full of really great instruction for us to know the will of God. Someday, all of us will be changed into his image and his likeness. Then we will agree on all things. Imagine that. The day will come when we'll agree on all things. Now, we're all going to admit that we're not right now. We probably won't agree on all things, right? I mean, there's sometimes conflict in church over what color they paint the walls. There was a couple that at Midway, and we were getting ready to do a building project, and this couple said, well, if they approve this building, we're going to leave and we're going to go someplace else. Well, the church approved the building project. But guess what? The church did some of the work themselves, including the painting, and that couple who was going to leave helped to paint the church. Isn't that great? Lives are transformed and changed because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the body of Christ. Yes, we are bound together. He wrote with confidence to the Romans and to us. There's no personal assumption. He is a servant of Jesus Christ and is doing his will. That's my purpose, to serve Jesus Christ. My desire is that all of us will come together to love Christ with the depths of our hearts, to recognize what he has done for us in giving us eternal life, salvation. We should never be overbearing. Yeah, I can get that way once in a while, but we shouldn't be. We need to be kind and considerate. We should take the position that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is in charge. If the Lord has come into your life, he will clean you up. A clean tongue and one that declares the word of God accurately is what a great many people need today. The chapter concludes with Paul's benediction. Now the God of peace be with you all. The God of peace. The God of peace shows Paul experienced peace in himself. He was in chains. He was in a Roman prison at one time. Spent a lot of time in a Roman prison. He wrote some of his letters from the prison. Philippians is a great example. If you read the book of Philippians, he was in prison, in chains, while he wrote the Philippians book. It is so filled with joy and rejoicing. That's where it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Oh, when we know Jesus Christ, there'll be joy no matter what our circumstances. No matter what we're going through, there'll be joy in our heart. In the storm, in the shipwreck, whatever it may be, we'll have joy. The Christian's hope is not for a better world, but for a new world. The Christian's hope is not for better conditions, but for a new age when Jesus Christ shall come back and reign upon this earth. Yes, we rejoice in knowing that we have a great and marvelous hope ahead of us because of Jesus. And what my desire is that all of us will walk together, supporting and encouraging one another, not tearing anyone down. We're doing everything we can to lift one another up. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving for your love, for your grace, for redeeming us, making us a part of your family. And as family, we're called to support one another, to encourage one another, to help one another, to lift one another up. Lord, I know it's difficult sometimes for us to love when someone has said something that's hurtful, something that might even be hateful, but Lord, I pray that we may put it all aside and that we will, in the likeness of Jesus, love one another with an acceptance and a love that extends to all. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that has any animosity towards someone, that they might confess it, that they will do what they can to renew their relationship, whatever it may be, Lord. I pray for your healing love in each heart and each life. For you, O Lord, I give you praise and honor and thanksgiving. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Closing hymn is a good hymn. Help us to help each other, Lord. It is number 362 in the Blue Book. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.